Moncrief on News Talk.
In the past few years, there's been an enormous rise in the use of AI religious chatbots. You can now go online and ask them what God thinks. Dr. Lyndon Drake is a research fellow at Oxford. Afternoon, Lyndon.
Good afternoon.
Are most religions now, do they have chatbot versions or even multiple chatbot versions?
Well, it's a pretty active field. And whilst I don't think any centralized religious organization has an official chatbot, I would say most major religions do have a chatbot on the go from at least some enthusiast.
Yeah. And so these are enthusiastic amateurs who are designing these things.
Yes, and in some cases they're probably on a much larger scale than that. You know, there are some quite well-resourced people putting them together, and they tend to reflect a particular theological tradition or the ambitions of somebody who feels that the normal setup of a chatbot is either a bit too neutral or possibly even negative about their religious tradition.
Right, and so what is the attraction then for people who would want to interact with them?
Well, you know, I guess in one sense, you know, there's often the case that it's hard to get hold of a traditional figure of religious authority. So perhaps you can't get to a priest and you want to ask a question. I imagine that part of it is because people often actually wish to ask questions where they're perhaps a little embarrassed to ask about it. So it might be you don't want to seem ignorant about the religious tradition that you're part of, or perhaps you have some personal problem. And I think another thing is that The chatbots are designed to be very affirming, and most of us love to be told that, you know, what a great question you just asked, or, you know, that's a wonderful point you just made. And so having a chatbot that does that instead of, you know, I'm an Anglican priest and perhaps sometimes people find me a bit grumpy, you know, but the chatbot is never grumpy, and that's an attractive thing.
Yeah. Now, but if you're asking a chatbot about some particular something to do with scripture, say, is that information contained within the chatbot, or does it go off and scrape it off Google and then provides an answer that way?
Well, at heart, the chatbots work because they've somehow managed to build a very compressed version of all the textual information that they're trained on. So in one sense, the scriptures in all the major religions are in some way embedded in these systems. We don't really understand how at this stage, but they're sort of in there in some sense. And modern chatbots as well have the ability to go and do Google searches, and they have quite a bit of, one might say, liberty, if we're to anthropomorphize, to choose how they go and try and answer the question. So you don't know, at the point you prompt it, you don't necessarily know which source it will come from. But the other thing is that chatbots as well, and this is really tied into how they function technically, there's no direct connection necessarily between a particular source, whether on the internet or in scriptures, and the output it produces. And most of us who have tried chatbots out are familiar with what's called hallucinations. In other words, when the response that comes back is disconnected from whatever it claims to be. So it's quite possible that a chatbot could say, you know, in the Christian Bible, it says this, and it's from, you know, from Hezekiah 3:16, you know, non-existent passage or some other kind of, you know, erroneous response. And perhaps one might not notice that.
Will these chatbots then interpret pieces of scripture?
I mean, that's a great question. And the question is, what are they doing here? Are they interpreting? I mean, in one sense, they certainly seem to be. They're willing to proffer responses back to us that look an awful lot like a human interpreter. And so that makes it really interesting. And this has really pushed people to try and construct a tradition-specific chatbot that provides correct interpretations rather than, you know, going off-piste and perhaps producing some sort of heresy. And those are quite successful. I mean, there was one, a Catholic one called Magisterium, and this Magisterium AI, it's very hard to push it to say something heretical in terms of the Catholic Catechism. So you know, there is a sense in which they're interpreting, but a lot of the religious ones are very much designed to keep those interpretations within the boundaries of the tradition.
Yeah, though even, I mean, you're more aware of this than I am, there are differing interpretations of things, of theology. And so does the chatbot say, well, I'm giving you X interpretation of this from this tradition, or does it just tell you, no, that's the way it is?
Well, I think a lot of them, specifically religious ones, are very much designed to try and say that this is the right interpretation, even if the response then reflects the varieties of interpretations out there. Now, underneath it all, no church has enough resources to duplicate what OpenAI is doing and train its own model. So if you push hard enough, you might get through the layer that they've added, and then you get into the weeds of the underlying chatbot model. But there's another aspect to this, which is that these models are all trained on the sum total of human textual information available in digital form. And that has its own biases. In particular, it's biased towards the secular Western tradition. And so that means that there's just going to be a tendency built in there, just because of the weight of training material, that's going to take you in that direction in many cases.
Right. Okay. So in parts of the world where the majority religion might be Hinduism or Islam, is there less of it going on there?
Well, I think there's an enormous amount of activity and interest. So there are Islamic chatbots and there are Hindu chatbots and so forth. But the underlying models that they're building on at the moment still have, one might call it a bias, if that's not too negative, towards the cultural West. Not so much perhaps towards Christianity, though of course that's represented more in the West than other religions, but certainly towards that kind of cultural setting. And it's hard to tie it exactly down, and the models still do really interesting jobs of producing religious material within a Hindu tradition or within an Islamic tradition. But it's not the same thing as saying that the model is built on something which has that weight in it.
Yeah, given that most religions are built to some extent around the idea of community, is this a worry?
Well, this is one of the real challenges, I think, here, that pushes back on a tendency that we've seen, again, particularly in the Western world, away from embodied forms of community. So, I mean, certainly, say, if you take the American megachurch movement, where people are often visible on a screen, there are many thousands of people in a church, there's already been a move away, actually, from lived community. And the chatbots and their equivalents that can produce videos, I think, are going to really accelerate that trend for those people who wish to consume religious experience in that way. I also think, though, that there's an immense opportunity for churches, religious organizations, other traditions to demonstrate in a new way the value of lived embodied community. And I use the example here of social media, which is, you know, holds out this promise that, you know, you'll be very well connected to a huge range. You know, I have thousands of friends. How many friends do I really have? And to there's this epidemic of loneliness that results from that. So I think, again, you know, interaction with a computer offers enormous advantages, but I wonder if it'll just trigger a sense of longing for something more.
Dr. Lyndon Drake is a research fellow at the University of Oxford. Lyndon, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.